You are listening to Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks, the podcast. Today is Monday, April 15th, Tax Day 2024. JJ Sefton again returning, feeling pretty good, no pain. And I'm joined once again by my colleague, good friend, and co-blogger, CBD. CBD, how are you and where are you?
I'm doing fine. I am in London, England. I'm sitting in a hotel room, just about to go out for some drinks. But I figured I'd do a podcast. Unfortunately, your illness has not changed your thick Brooklyn accent. So I was hoping for the best. Unfortunately, folks, we're going to have to tolerate it. You talk about tax day, and yes. I don't have overly complicated taxes, but the amount of bullshit that I had to wade through just to read them, just to read the entire thing. Unfortunately, I have to use an accountant, but it's unbelievable the complexity of our tax system. It is ridiculous. And if you look at it very, very carefully, you will see how convoluted it is and how these cutouts for, particular businesses and obviously particular people work. And they're constructed very carefully to make them seem as if it's simply making it a much more fair tax structure. But the reality for all thinking human beings is that it makes it exactly the opposite. That's all. Yeah, I just hate the fuckers.
Me too. I mean, it is ridiculous. I mean, just in 1 year alone, my taxes, and I'm really, I'm almost at the point of being on a fixed income, really. And my income is way down. I haven't really been booking many jobs and so on and so forth. And I have not really made significantly, if anything, more than I did last year. And my taxes have doubled, at least at the federal level, and even at the state level here in Wisconsin. And that is ridiculous. And this whole bullshit of, we're only going after millionaires and billionaires. What a crock of shit. They hired 80,000 new tax agents to go after the so-called middle class, which is now being driven out of existence thanks to the junta and those in power. I mean, it's horrible. So
you're absolutely right. They're going after the middle class. And the problem is for the United States is they don't want a middle class. They want the elites. They want wealthy people. And then they want this huge underclass to support them, to fix their toilets and clean their houses and mow their lawns. And unfortunately for the elites, they don't seem to understand that a middle class is based in a technologically advanced society such as ours. A middle class is based on technologically aware workers, but they're importing third world troglodytes who are incapable of that sort of work, and they're just not going to be able to do it. And if the United States does not change course, we are going to get what we are trying to get, which is an upper class at the very, very top and then a lower class that simply cannot function in today's society. And it's going to be a big mess.
Essentially, we are building a mass grave back to the 12th century, where it's basically serfs and the landlords. And it's insanity. And we talked about this, I think, a little bit with Bob Zimmerman, when, we have an entire massive regulatory state that tries to put the squeeze and the bite on everyone to prevent businesses from going forward and blossoming, or from people from falling on their ass and failing and picking themselves up and starting all over again and trying again until they succeed. And when you do that, when you put the kibosh on the free enterprise system, that is what made this country really great and really exceptional, in that people were free to try and free to fail without the interference.
That is exactly it. Sefton, you're 100% correct. Picking yourself up after you failed, knowing that the barriers to entry to small business or, whatever you want to do are insignificant in comparison to the payoff at the very end. But those barriers to entry are becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and higher and higher and higher. And that is the goal. That's how you destroy a middle class. And they're doing one hell of a job with it.
It is all in service to the ultimate goal of the state seizing all manner and methods of production and income. And the only people that could really ever make any income is essentially the state itself, off of the backs of both peasants and also the elite, who are sort of fascistically in their pockets, so to speak. And it's a horrible thing. Really is. Hopefully we can hopefully we'll one of these days we'll reverse that cycle, please God. But until then, it ain't looking good, my friends. So,
folks, the first way to reverse that cycle is vote Trump. Vote early, vote often. Steal your left wing neighbor's mail-in ballot and vote for him.
Absolutely.
I'm joking, I guess. No, really, I am joking.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
But you know something? That's exactly what they're going to be doing, left, right, and center. And of course, and this is a nice little segue, one of the states that was involved in that in 2020 was Michigan. And Michigan is a real thorn in the side of the junta, and they're freaking out about it because of the situation with Israel. And now because Iran has, as we described, has openly and massively engaged in a massive attack, which was for the most part thwarted by the Israelis. And it's not even through their proxies. Iran itself has attacked Israel with missiles and drones and other aerial assets. And oh boy, it's going to call for a response in kind by the Israelis. And, you know, it's, we're now sort of hovering on, if not a massive regional war in the Middle East, and certainly a potential for a global exchange. Not good.
Well, it's a fascinating thing that just happened. Iran launched about 300, no, in excess of 300. I've read 300. I've read 325. Combination of cruise missiles, what they described as ballistic missiles, and much slower drones. And the idea was to overwhelm Israel's defenses by getting all of these missiles arriving at the same time. But Israel, in concert with the United States, the UK, France, and surprisingly, Saudi Arabia and Jordan shot them all down, except for one or two that got into Israel and blew up pretty much nothing. I think, you know, probably an abandoned building on some air base in Israel. And unfortunately, a young girl was killed by the debris of one of them blowing up.
Yeah, that's the ironic thing is it was a Bedouin girl who's, I don't know if she was a Druze or if she's, I don't think so. I think she was Muslim, and she got killed. And of course, you know, as I say, it's like the old Stalin saying: the death of one Muslim is a tragedy. The death of 1,200 Jews is a statistic.
God. So the real question is: could Israel have handled this on its own? And I think the answer is probably yes. And the second question is: how should Israel react? My personal opinion is that Israel should react by going into Rafah and completing the primary task at hand, or at least the short-term task at hand, and that is to destroy Hamas. I think that the secondary goal should be to ramp up their attacks on Iran, but the covert attacks, you know, cyber attacks, assassinations inside and outside of Iran. I think they should probably ramp it up a little bit more and start sinking Iranian vessels, naval vessels at the very least. I don't know that a direct attack on Iran it makes much sense. And not because I think that's a bad idea. I think because there are things that can be done that are probably much better and much cheaper to do than a direct attack on Iran.
Right. Many years ago, I had a job and was flown out to Dubai and also to Bahrain. And I actually met a number of people. This goes back to 2008, like just before Obama. And they were saying that if you tried to, you know, instigate trouble with Iran, even though the Iranian people can't stand the mullahs, and this was 16 years ago, mind you, they would somehow rally behind the flag if there was an actual attack on Iran. And right now, the internal situation in Iran is even worse than it was by orders of magnitude than 16 years ago. And the mullahs are on the ropes. I mean, they just had an election, like a rigged election, of course, but like nobody showed up at the polls to protest it. So I would think, I follow your logic, CBD. I think if they can target more of the Iranian, what is it, the Republican Guards leadership, the terrorist leadership, the generals, and so on and so forth, as well as the targeted assassinations, especially of those who are in charge of the nuclear program, as well as cyber attacks, et cetera, that would really also help go a long way. But you are right. Israel now has to complete its mission of going after and wiping out the last four battalions of Hamas. And that will, in the parlance of the Arab world and the Muslim world, show that Israel, at least in this instance, is the strong horse and not to fuck with them. And of course, you know, the knuckleheads here will go crazy with in Dearborn and Minneapolis and wherever else, and they'll supposedly sit on their hands and not vote for Biden. But what's been interesting to follow is that supposedly Biden has been sucking up to them by you know, isolating and doing bad things to Israel at the UN, and it really hasn't had much of an effect anyway. So, you know, Israel just got to do what it's got to do.
Do you believe? Well, I don't know. Do you really believe that the Palestinian Arabs who live in Dearborn and the Somali goat herders who live in Minneapolis are going to vote Republican or not vote? I honestly don't believe that.
Yeah, they're definitely not going to vote Republican, sure. But I mean, they've threatened. I mean, and who knows what the hell they're going to do? But of course, the Democrat Party has ways of rounding up ballots of Muslims, of dead Muslims, of the 72 virgins of the dead Muslims, and, you know, throw that into the hopper, and voila. Plus the fact in Michigan, especially, you have Gretchen Whitmer, you have Dana Nessel, and you have that whoever the Secretary of State is, who are just total whores and total criminals in election thievery, and they're going to do everything in their power. But it's just interesting the fact that, you know, that the, what do you call it, and the Biden junta is openly panicking about this and doing everything that it can to sort of kowtow to these people. And it's not just Muslims, it's the crazy radical left who also support death to Israel and death to America. So somebody is being nervous somewhere, and if they thought that they really had it in the bag, I don't think necessarily that they would be doing this. And the other side of the coin is you have Jewish donors who are pro-Democrat no matter what, and they're alienating them. So it's an interesting, you know, trying to read the tea leaves is it's not so easy.
I'm torn by the idea of a wealthy Jewish American donating to the Democrat Party right now.
Oh God!
I know you chastised me gently, by the way, about using the term Judenrat, and I don't say rat in German. So
right, Jewish rat. Right.
Yeah. These people are traitors to their religion, traitors to their culture, traitors to 3,000 years of Judaism, and any Jew who gives to the Democrat Party now is frankly insane, if not an outright traitor. And by the way, they're traitors to America too. America is going to fail if the Democrats get their way. There's no way around that reality. The Democrat Party is on a nonstop trip to socialism in America, and that will destroy us.
Absolutely. And, you know, and again, I didn't chastise you for the, it was just an incorrect use of the term because it means Jewish council, which was, but still it's the same, you know, when you get down to the nitty gritty, anybody who aids and abets the enemy is an enemy of, is our enemy and is, as I call them, self-gassing Jews. I mean, there is no excuse for Chuck Schumer or Adam Schiff or whoever to do these things and to claim the mantle of being good Jews when they're not. It's the same thing when Pelosi and when Biden and whoever else claims that they're observant Catholics, and yet they go all in on abortion at every phase, abortion up until and postnatal abortion. I mean, you're not. If either you are or you're not. And to me, these people are godless heathens who just lust after power at any cost. So we shall see. I mean, it's, you know, obviously, yeah, the Muslims are not going to pull the lever for Donald Trump, and nor are the crazy Marxists going to do that. But will their anger, will they be in the position that we've always bemoaned ourselves of being in every time we have to hold our nose and pull the lever for a John McCain or a George W. Bush or a Mitt Romney? Except now it's orders of magnitude worse, or at least that's what the rhetoric seems to be coming from the usual suspects. And speaking of Trump, he himself, I guess maybe a week or so ago, said that if you're Jewish and vote for a Democrat, you're out of your mind. And he's absolutely 100%
yeah,
right.
I had no problem with that. Of course, he was accused of being a racist. How the fuck do they get that out of a clear political statement?
Well, you know, anything.
You know, the power of that word has been destroyed. Racist. Fuck you. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, what the hell does it mean now? You can't be a racist anymore.
No, it's well, we that was what I was hoping for maybe a couple of years ago when they've used the term so much and cried racism time and time and time again that you just have to laugh at it. But sometimes I guess it still sticks. But a lot of people are starting to push back not only on that but on all the other woke purveyors of what the proper language is to be used as weapons against us, whether it's J.K. Rowling or whoever it might be, and thank God for them and say, tell them we've had enough of this and we're not going to take it anymore. And when you disempower them from using the language against you, then it's that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, it can be as simple as when somebody tells you his pronouns or her pronouns. Fuck
Yeah.
you. I'm sorry, I speak English. You can't change your pronouns.
No, of course not. But that now all of a sudden it's like places like Scotland. Yeah, that was it. I mean, it was in Scotland where they said if you misgender or whatever the hell it is with the pronoun nonsense, that we can arrest you for hate speech. And J.K. Rowling, okay, come slap the cuffs on me. Let's see what you can do. And basically, thank goodness the Scottish Prime Minister, who happens to be a native Pakistani, put your head around that one. That tells you where the hell the world's going. He basically called his bluff, and then he got reamed a new one all over Twitter. And thank goodness that Elon Musk still holds the high ground on Twitter, because without that, that's like the only mass voice of conservative communication we have so far.
Yeah. Anyway,
Yeah.
you mentioned Trump and the ongoing saga of the 837 civil and criminal trials that are either in planning or ongoing with Donald Trump. It's become almost it is a travesty, but it seems like a comedy right now. It's a comedy of errors. They simply don't know what the hell they're doing. They've been throwing these charges at him for a couple of years, 3 years, and nothing has come of it. The closest they've gotten is in New York with that obscenity of a civil finding against him for $455 million or whatever the hell the number is. And I think that's going to go away eventually. But the criminal trials and it's becoming almost a, well, I don't know. Is it improving his standing in the among the electorate? I think it is.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. I mean, I mean, his numbers have been going nowhere but north and climbing, regardless. Every charge they throw at him, it doesn't seem to matter to the base who is behind him 110%. And more alarmingly I think for the Democrats, where you have blacks, where you have even women and Latinos who are saying, shit, the damn border is wide open, crime is out of control, the economy is in the shitter, prices have doubled, tripled, and we're losing our shirts. This is, and people are recognizing there was a poll. I don't know if it was an IBD Siena poll or one of the relatively, reliable pollsters out there was saying a significant portion of across the board, regardless whether you're left or right, view what's being done to Donald Trump as merely a political attack and nothing more. And so that's alarming. Now, of course, they have the power. The courts are in their hands. The prosecutors are in their hands, and especially in New York City, the jury is in their hands. And if they find him guilty, they'll chuck him in jail. Or do they dare do that? What could possibly happen? And of course, we know that I forgot who it was that was ran for president and was elected and was jailed. I don't know if it was it Eugene V. De whoever it was, somebody, and he pardoned himself afterwards, or could pardon himself. I forgot who it was. Somebody, they threw him in jail. I hereby, whatever. It didn't hold water. I mean, it's ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous when all you do is have a lust for power by any means necessary. You will corrupt every institution, every moral fiber of whatever scintilla of morals and ethics that you may or may not have means jack shit, as long as it's get Trump, get the conservatives, destroy America by any means necessary. And that's because, again, they believe that they are the moral high ground, and anything is necessary to preserve our quote unquote precious democracy unquote, which makes me barf every time I hear that statement. But there you have it.
Well, the current criminal trial, I think it's a criminal trial in New York under Judge Merchan. I've only read it, I've never heard it. The judge put a gag order on Trump from speaking about witnesses and I think jurors, although how he would know who the jurors are, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I find that laughable. The last time I checked, the First Amendment doesn't say except for when you're under indictment. Then you can't say anything. I mean, where does this come from? Where does the power of this judge come from? Where is he deriving this authority? I simply do not know.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. I mean, but by the same token, look at what happened with the whole student loan forgiveness that Biden did the first time around. Supreme Court comes around, issues a ruling, no, you cannot do this. This is unconstitutional. And Biden just basically said, oh yeah, go fuck yourself. Catch me if you can. And he pardoned another two, three, four, $20 billion worth of debt. And so when there is no means of a branch of government legitimately exercising its authority to put a blowback pitch at another branch that is clearly abusing its authority, then all bets are off. We have no more, we're only as good, all of these things are only as good as the people willing to observe the rules and not rewrite the rules on the fly for political expediency. And we have now become degenerated to a point where all bets are off, and anything goes, and everything goes when it comes to winning by any means necessary. And that's why these courts, I mean, it's a frightening thing. I mean, this whole no nonsense with whether it's Alvin Bragg or whether it's Merchan with, I don't know if it's the Stormy Daniels thing. I
Yeah,
mean, Jesus.
I think that's the one.
Yeah. I mean, my God, it was a private thing. It was not using any campaign funds. Whatever he did, having his hanky panky with her way, way back when, he paid her to keep her mouth shut, and he paid her out of his own funds, and he was perfectly within his legal bounds to do that, regardless of what the implication is, so on and so forth on a personal level. And now here we are, 15, however many years later, and it's like a campaign finance law. He paid her off using, and it's like it's illegal, it's immoral, it's this, it's that. I mean, give me a freaking break. And the whole just E Jean Carroll thing. She was never touched. I mean, it was a whole fantasy, and he defamed her by attacking her. And I'm
Yeah.
going, whatever it was, $100 million, $200 million to, and it's like it's sick. And all these other charges of insurrection when there was no insurrection, clearly. And
This is what's
the
fascinating about all of these charges. Folks, it's no secret that I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump. I was hoping for the DeSantis candidacy,
sure.
but that didn't happen. I lose. Trump supporters win. He is now my candidate, and the. And my many, many reservations about Donald Trump, none of them have anything to do with any of the charges that have been lodged against him by a captive administrative state in this country. They fly so far under the radar, they don't even matter to me. I don't care. And that's what's so fascinating about this. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's remained so popular in the United States. That people look at these charges and they laugh. They say, well, we don't give a shit. What does that have to do with anything? We like the guy because I made more money when he was president. I like the guy because my kid in the army didn't have to go fight some fucking war in Shitkanistan when he was president. That's why people like Donald Trump. They don't give a
Yep.
shit about these trials. And the idea that it's going to, it's going to push the polls in one way or the other, bullshit. I simply don't
Yeah.
buy it.
Yeah. I mean, the more they charge him, the more, I mean, really, that even just average people looking at it, they say, this is freaking laughable. He's however many counts, however many, whatever it is, it's a joke. And the one thing we're talking about, with black support going his way, starting to, in a not insignificant way that could theoretically affect the Democrats very adversely, a lot of blacks are looking at what's going on with Donald Trump and saying, you know something, this is the same thing the man does to the black man all the time. They hurl these charges, and they're literally turning Donald Trump into sort of an Emmett Till kind of character, into being lynched.
Well,
I
that's a
mean,
little hyperbolic, but
that's a little hyperbolic, but it's the best way. Seriously, I see some of these rap guys and so on and so forth who ain't exactly constitutional conservatives and, followers of William F. Buckley Jr. But at the same token, they see what's going on. They say, man, this is all bullshit. I mean, this is like they're just going after him for the sake of going after him. And it's like, a lot. I mean, who was it? I mean, the Charlemagne the God character. Yeah, he's kind of wishy-washy, but even half the time he sees that it's bullshit. And when he calls it out, and it's like, I mean, mostly not so much defending Trump, but going after Hunter Biden and Joe Biden for the fact that nobody's going after them. And he sees the hypocrisy, and to a greater or lesser extent, he's from time to time called it out. So when he sees it, you better believe a lot of other black folk are seeing it too, for whatever it's worth.
And we don't need, 70% Trump support in Black America. We need a degradation of their traditional support for the Democrat junta. That's all. And if it's 5%, I don't know what the number needs to be for it to push to push elections. But I can't imagine that it's very much. Black Americans, 12 or 13% of the population.
Right. Joe Mannix on one of the podcasts a while back stated that if it slips below like 94 or 93% Black support, Democrats are in real trouble. And that's, shit. If it can do that, we shall see. And he's gaining. He's gaining among Blacks. He's gaining among Latinos. And he's gaining among women, the non-awful women that we discussed.
Yeah, see, I wonder about that, too.
And that segues nicely into our next sort of Trump-related and election-related topic, which is abortion.
So, folks, obviously, Roe v. Wade was struck down by the Supreme Court. And the question of abortion has moved to the states. And it's fascinating. Donald Trump has navigated this minefield rather well. He has made noises about a federal law governing abortion, but for the most part, he has discussed it in terms of it being states' rights, that each state should control its abortion law. The left, of course, was apoplectic with rage because it's not abortion. It's what do they call it? Not gestational health.
It's women's
health, but they have other really, really offensive terms to describe the murder of fetuses. One of the talking heads, I think it was Hochul, started blaming him for the Arizona Supreme Court's finding that a Civil War era law outlawing all abortion is valid in the state of Arizona now. And she was blaming Trump for this, which I find fascinating. They're apoplectic. This is their hill on which they're going to die on which they are going to die.
Right.
And they hope that they're going to energize every woman in America to come out and vote early and vote often. And that's why you're going to be hearing about abortion right through till Tuesday, the first Tuesday in November of this year.
Yeah, exactly. And it is ridiculous. I mean, on a number of fronts, but that is all they have. They cannot run on the border. They cannot run on crime. And if you just hammer that home day in and day out and nonstop, and we talked about this last week on, well, it was an abortive podcast, but anyway, this wonderful representative, a woman, a Chinese, a refugee from the communist Chinese, who totally bitch slapped that David Hogg knucklehead about gun rights. And it's the same kind of thing applies. All of these things are, they're in the mix. It's just that will this really energize more of the awfuls and more of the lefties than everything else combined, energize regular folks to put an end to this madness and kick the Biden junta out of the Oval Office. That's all they have to run on. And it's ironic that, they talked about, when they were so hot and horny for sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, they were all kind of hiding under the rubric of the 9th and 10th Amendment and states' rights, which is sort of like a real, dog whistle to them about going back to Jim Crow and so on. But now all of a sudden the state enacts its laws and it's like, oh my God, this is the worst thing in the world. This is terrible. This is Nazism. This is putting women back in chains and this and that and the other thing. But that's what it's all about. And that's why the original Roe v. Wade decision was a horrendous decision, because it talked about this so-called, right of privacy, which does not exist. And then, of course, when the COVID vaccines were happening and the lockdowns, people were saying, well, don't we have a right to privacy? Uh-uh, not this time.
No, of course not. Yeah,
of course not. So
the woman we were talking about is a woman named Lily Tang Williams. She's running for one of the House seats in New Hampshire. And she made a very, very simple and powerful point, and that is she came from communist China. The communist Chinese government killed, probably, let's say, 60, 70, 80 million people for using a variety of techniques. And she asked David Hogg, Can he guarantee that the American government would not fall into that sort of behavior? And Hogg said, of course not. And she said, well, then I'm keeping my guns. And it was simple. It was powerful. It was wonderful. And this is exactly the sort of stuff that we need in the United States. We need people to understand the existential problems that we have right now, that we are very, very close to falling into the abyss of totalitarianism. And Lily Tang Williams, New Hampshire, the second New Hampshire two, I guess, it will fight for us. So vote for her, even if you don't live in New Hampshire.
Exactly. Vote for her early and often. But you are so right, CBD. We are, and other issues which we haven't really, and we don't really have the time to touch upon, but the whole censorship issue and the whole artificial intelligence issue, where voices are being squelched and squashed, whether it was the people that were exposing the insanity of the COVID lockdowns and the even more insane COVID vaccines, which were killing more people than the actual disease, to right now the attempt to squelch conservative voices that are speaking out against Biden and so on and so forth, whether it's on Google, whether it's Facebook, whether it's whatever the platform may be. And it's a TikTok and so on and so forth. So we are really, this country really is on a precipice. And, you know, we say it all the time. I mean, you know, it's this election could see the end, but it really, you know, it really could be, because as we've stated, it's we have a disunified populace at best. And at worst, we have an internal enemy, which is the American or the anti-American left, which wants to fundamentally transform and destroy this country. Thank you, Barack Obama. And then we have the rest of us. So who will prevail? Man, the situation is in doubt. So there you have it.
One of the problems in the United States is that we are so powerful, that we are so isolated from the ills of the rest of the world. You know, we have the Atlantic, we have the Pacific, we have America's hat to the north, Canada, which is a peaceful country, and we have Mexico has internal issues, obviously, and they're funneling all of the illegal immigrants through Mexico and into the United States, but that's a manageable problem with a dedicated administration. So we have, for the most part, been isolated from the evil of the world. And, you know, you can contrast that with Israel, which is surrounded by the evil of the world. And yet the October 7th pogrom has unified the people of Israel to a surprising extent. And they have seen the future and they don't like it. And they are unified in their goal, which is to protect Israel. And until something like that happens in the United States, I don't see how we can become unified, absent, you know, 8 or 12 years of a consistent, strong, America-loving conservative government. And I don't see that happening either. Boy, am I being pessimistic. Sorry about that.
I'll see your pessimism and raise you a head in the oven if I can. The problem, and we talked about this, I think, previously, is that once, and please God, once Israel does actually wipe out Hamas and takes over the infrastructure and power structure of Gaza, there needs to be a program of denazification, which basically the only way you denazify these people from hating Israel and equating them with evil, you know, pigs and gorillas and so on and subhumans, you have to de-Islamicize an Islamic country. And how you do that, I don't know. Ditto here in the United States. You have a good portion of this country that has been so brainwashed over the course of the last 60 years to think that America is illegitimate, a colonizer, and racist and homophobic and this and that and the other thing. You know, it's taking control of the school systems and deprogramming three generations of people raised on Marxism. And it took 100 years for them to get to this point, but damn, we're right on the edge. Hopefully it can be reversed.
It, as you say, it begins in the schools. The education of American children has become pathetic. There is no coherent teaching of American history other than the fact that we are evil. You know, the evils of slavery are unique to America, which of course is arrant nonsense. But until we fix that, I don't see it improving radically. I'm at a loss. What do you think?
I agree with you. I mean, it's going to take, I mean, on the plus side of the whole COVID lockdowns, it exposed to parents the, what in the hell their kids were being exposed to, quite literally and figuratively, in the schools, meaning men's genitals in girls' rooms and 1619 projects and critical race theory and all of this other garbage. American exceptionalism, the American system, the Constitution, the goodness of the American people, and the overcoming of our problems was not taught. And so, that's why children, that's why you have all these idiots and buffoons going to these pro-Palestinian quote unquote rallies calling for death to the Jews and from the river to the sea, because they don't know what the hell they're doing, because this is what they've been taught to believe. So that's where it begins and ends. And hopefully, the Loudoun County parents were now labeled as terrorists and insurrectionists because they dared speak up. But if that's what they want us to be, then I'm a proud insurrectionist against tyranny. And if it comes to that, then let it be.
I too am becoming an insurrectionist. Although apparently in the United States, an insurrectionist means you walked past the Capitol building on January 6th.
Exactly. You put a nasty post-it note on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Oh my God. But
Yeah.
hurling, but FALN hurling and the weathermen hurling firebombs and blowing up military bases. Nah, nothing to see here, folks. Move on. Transsexual shooting up a Catholic or Christian school. Nothing to see here, folks.
All right, folks, we're hitting a hard stop. I've got places to go. So thank you very, very much for listening. Sefton mentioned an abortive, oh God, bad word, but I'll use it anyway, an abortive podcast from late last week. And I'm sort of glad that we had some technical difficulties and it didn't work out because I was completely full of shit when I think back on what I was talking about with Iran and Israel. So
Yeah,
we'll just put
we
that
both
one. We'll put that one aside.
yeah, we both got that
Anyway,
one wrong. But
yeah.
anyway.
Anyway, folks, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for hitting the tip jar. We will talk to you soon.
Absolutely. So again, folks, point of personal privilege. Thank you for your thoughts, your prayers, your words of kindness and encouragement as I go through this medical situation, which I'm due to see my neurosurgeon on the 24th. And again, if they're not putting me in the front of the line as a dire emergency and telling me to get my affairs in order, I can only assume that that can be taken as good news. And I'm feeling positive, and a lot of it is because of you people and the co-bloggers and CBD and everybody else. So thank you so much for that. You have been listening to the Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks podcast, and we will see you again real soon on the next one.
Thank you for listening, folks.